Hey, crew. Hike it into Hooters for all the games this season, where our wings always win. World famous since 1983, with over 14 sauces and rubs to choose. Or try one of our football specials, like 10 buffalo shrimp or 3 tenders, both served with fries for a special price. Wash it down with a Big Daddy mug of Budweiser, Bud Light, or Michelob. During the games, every Tampa Bay area location will be giving away signed Bucks footballs. Hooters, official partner of the Buccaneers. Visit originalhooters.com for more details.
Fair to say, this is one of the reasons that fantasy football is so fun. I'll explain in this edition of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, presented by Hooters. Visit originalhooters.com for location, information, hours of operation, easy online ordering for their restaurants in the greater Tampa Bay area that support me and this podcast and our podcast provider, JoeBucksFan.com. Brandon Legal Group is your full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. They back everything I do in the podcast universe and always provide things I need for Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments. We just hosted Todd Wright Tour LII, which was sold out almost 2 months in advance for Plantation Palms Golf Club. This past weekend, it was a very successful event. We even gave away a Steve Spurrier autographed custom stitch throwback Bucks creamsicle jersey, which worked out great because Spurrier was involved with the promotion of the creamsicle uniforms and talking about the history, 50-year history of the Buccaneers and how he was the Bucks' first starting quarterback. The first regular season game where the Bucks were shut out by the Oilers and got lost even trying to get from the locker room to the field, Steve Spurrier was their starting quarterback for Coach John McKay. We gave away a signed jersey. It went to Sergeant Flynn, who is the head superintendent at Pasadena Yacht and Country Club and a terrific guy. He was also part of the overall first place team in the tournament. Congratulations to Team Garabo with the help of Sergeant Flynn and Lance Davis and his partner. The B-Flight won by a team making their debut, captained by Ryan Green, who I know through various other people have played golf with. He has Michigan roots and is a super guy and was supporting the tour for the first time and won the B-Flight. So Brandon Legal Group had gift baskets for players on those two teams and always backs what I do podcast-wise and for the golf tournaments. Email is right.todd@yahoo.com. I said it once. Before I get to reacting to the top pass catchers and rushers and using that as talking points, as we often do, with fantasy podcasts that are recorded on Monday or Tuesday, and what it means for us if you own those players or if those players are on waivers or if they are a trade target. Early last week, I get an unsolicited text from Joe Bucks fans, Ira Kaufman. Ira, of course, does podcasts and columns for JoeBucksFan.com and for decades has covered the Buccaneers and is responsible also. He is the one person who presents all Tampa Bay Buccaneers for a Hall of Fame induction. Ira is a lot of fun and he is very talented and has had a tremendous career. We got Ira involved in fantasy football a number of years ago with a connection via JoeBucksFan.com. Ira had never played fantasy football before. It didn't go well at the beginning. And then a few years ago, Ira put together a heck of a team, and it was me and him in a league playing for the championship. I won that game. But Ira made the championship game. So that was proof He had arrived. He knew what he was doing. He still doesn't have a title. And we were playing head-to-head this week. So Ira reaches out. I look at my phone. And Ira basically said, I'm trading a wide receiver this week for a running back. What would you like to do? I pointed out that we were playing head-to-head this coming week. And because we were playing head-to-head this coming week, I did not want to trade a player to him who could beat me this week. Ira's response was that it was weak. W-E-A-K. Ira called me out for not wanting to trade him a running back, and I know what he was looking for. One of my three productive running backs. So he could start them against me this week. He called it weak. So my response to Ira was, because he was probably in the building at $1, I said, why don't you ask Jason Light, since the Bucks are playing the Niners this Sunday, and the Niners are banged up at quarterback, why don't you ask Jason Light if he would trade Teddy Bridgewater to the 49ers this week? And that's where it ended. It turned out what Ira was looking to do. He had Jefferson on bye. Many of you dealt with this. So Ira somehow thought this was a good idea. He was going to trade me, Justin Jefferson, who couldn't play for me this week. So he's trading me a player who can't beat him this week. But in exchange, here are my top three running backs going into week six. Josh Jacobs, Kyren Williams, Rico Dowdle. So he saw that I couldn't play all three, and he wanted one of those three in return for Jefferson. So again, Ira, you thought you could trade me a guy who can't play for me this week against you, and I would give you a guy who you would use to beat me. You're smarter than that, Ira. You know better. So I took a little extra pleasure in, I'll use Ira's term because he texted me last night. He called the beatdown he took from me in week six a seal clubbing. I beat Ira by 65 plus points, roughly 99 to 36. My starting lineup, very productive. Mayfield, Golden coming on, Bourne, plugged and play the last 2 weeks. I played Kyren. I played Jacobs. I did not play Dowdle. I guess I should have played Dowdle instead of Kyren, but I didn't trade Ira Dowdle. Jake Ferguson almost got me double digits, and I'm hanging on like Andy Reid is with Butker. If Butker's good enough for Andy Reid, I'll stick with Butker as well. Yeah, Ira got a couple of zeros from Kincaid and Thornton. Didn't get much from Amon-Ra. Didn't get much from David Montgomery. Still isn't getting anything from Terry McLaurin. And had Daniel Jones on the bench. And Daniel Jones had a nice bounce back with the rushing component. We had talked about the decline from weeks 2 through 5. And Jones jumped back up there and would have been more productive than Trevor Lawrence. So, Ira, don't ever come at me with a weak comment again. Maybe he did ask Jason Light what I asked him to ask Jason Light. You want to send a player on a bye to someone you're not playing that particular week to help your team, you go ahead. Bigger question. Does anyone ever target a good player on someone else's team who's on a bye week, and then you take the hit for 1 week because you think he's more available? Maybe, but not when you're going head to head. Granted, I could have sent Ira Dowdle and still beaten him by 30, and I'd have Justin Jefferson. But it probably wouldn't have worked out that way. Every time I get an update on what Dowdle is doing, which Dowdle predicted he'd do against the Cowboys, it would drive me crazy. So, again, this is part of the fun of fantasy football. You play with people, these things come up, you talk back and forth, someone wins, someone loses. And then last night, so in the 12-team league, the Battle of the Network Stars, where I play as J.R. Ewing, and of note, Ira plays as Cosmo Kramer. We have two Seinfeld characters in the league. Tom Krasnicki of WDAE plays as Crazy Joe Davola. Drew Garabo of 102.5 The Bone, and part of one of my winning teams in the golf tournament, plays in the league as a character named Jay Cody. Thank you for the three who know who that is. It's a character from a television show that originally ran on TNT and is getting additional peaks via streaming called Animal Kingdom. And Drew is a historically smart person when it comes to television knowledge, and picked a character that really didn't fit what everybody else was doing with their TV characters. But that's what Drew wanted to do. I let him do it. And Drew and I were watching football last night at the Midtown Walk-Ons in Tampa. Please don't come by. And Drew needed a huge game out of DeAndre Swift to usurp what his opponent already had in the clubhouse, Zach Morris. He needed a big night yardage and TD-wise from DeAndre Swift, who anyone who's owned DeAndre Swift knows this year has been average at best. And then late in the game, Swift catches a little, wheel route, something out of the backfield. Washington chooses to not tackle him or push him out of bounds. He goes the distance, and suddenly Drew has a chance. And then late, after Washington fumbles a wet football away in the closing minutes, the Bears lean on Swift. And on Swift's last play to get Jake Moody close enough to not gag it, Swift got enough yards to push Drew to victory over, I should say, Jay Cody to victory over Zach Morris by 4 yards. 4 yards. Swift set up 2 game winners. For Garabo and Jake Moody, the game ended by 0.04. If Swift doesn't gets 5 less yards on that last play, I'm guessing Moody misses and Garabo loses. But as a result, in the Battle of the Network Stars, J.R. Ewing and Jay Cody are a combined 10-2. We are showing the way. Only 4 of the 12 make the playoffs. Only one close to us is Captain Kirk, defending champion of the league, lurking at 4-2. And Zach Morris's team is loaded, though. Zach's team is loaded, especially at running back. Again, the fun of fantasy football. Let's review week six numbers. 76 yards or more. Pass catchers, 18 of them. 76 yards or more. Runners, 10 of them. I ask you, PPR apologists, what position needs the extra point? Did you not hear what I just said? Do you not hear why I don't use PPR? Because there are more pass catchers who put up yardage each week than there are rushers, anyone running the ball, that put up that kind of yardage each week. It should be the other way around. I'm not saying there should be a point per rush, but the component should be flipped in 2025. And those who run should get extra, not those who catch. Let's review the 10 who put up a minimum of 76 yards rushing for week six in inverse order. James Cook, even kind of in an game, you could see Cook gets frustrated when he's taken off the field and how he doesn't play enough snaps. He didn't like it. His fantasy owners don't like it either. 17 carries, 87 yards, no touchdowns rushing. Josh Jacobs, what did I tell you in one of the first podcasts this season? What did I say to everybody on Spectrum Bay News 9 and Spectrum Central Florida News 13 when we did a fantasy segment? Who was the player I wanted more than any other in fantasy football this year? Four words. I want Josh Jacobs. For those who questioned it, are you done talking? Josh Jacobs, 18 rushes, 93 yards, two touchdowns. And that's just his rushing. Inside the 5, inside the 10, inside the 20. He gets the ball. Cam Scataboo, who I threw a 12th round draft pick at and cut him after 1 week. My mistake. I think Ira picked him up, by the way. You're welcome, Ira. 19 for 98, three touchdowns on Thursday night. I say it to myself every year, and I can't do it. There's a reason why I draft guys in the late rounds, and then there's someone on waivers I want the first week or two, and I drop that player, and I shouldn't do it. I shouldn't have done it with Scataboo. But then a few weeks later, I get Dowdle. And remember, we fell into what we'll get to Dowdle. DeAndre Swift was next, just his rushing, 14 for 108, best game of the year. Derrick Henry, in the latest Ravens flop, 24 for 122, didn't score. Jonathan Taylor, 21 for 123 and one rushing touchdown. How bad are the Dolphins that they let not only the Chargers win that game, but Kamani Vidal go for 18, 124, basically in his NFL debut as a starter. Achan, same game, 16 for 128, two touchdowns, and Dolphins still lose. Bijan Robinson, I did say pre-flop. I couldn't get there with Bijan in year three being worth a top five overall draft pick. I'm very close to being there now, based on everything going on. I still don't think the Falcons are a playoff team, but they came out of the bye looking the way their fans and fantasy owners of two players in particular expect them to look. And Robinson still losing key carries inside the 20 to Algier. I think I called him Algier on an earlier podcast. Let me apologize for that. I went to college at the University of Miami with a University of Miami baseball pitcher named Jeff Alkire. And Jeff is still active on social media And he was a super guy, still is. So I saw Algier and I thought about my classmate, Jeff Alkire, and I'm sorry for the mispronunciation a couple of weeks ago. Bijan Robinson, 170 rushing and a touchdown rushing. Rico Dowdle. So I shouldn't have cut Cam Scadaboo, but a few weeks later, in all my leagues, and I play in three, I claimed Rico Dowdle. And in all three of those leagues, I claimed him before week five. Nobody else put in a claim for him. We stumbled onto this together. I hope some of you heard the podcast through, I think it was the first 3 weeks. We reviewed who's getting the touches to run the ball inside the five, inside the 10, inside the 20. Josh Jacobs was showing the way. Jonathan Taylor was big. Kyren Williams was big. And then suddenly, not high on the list, but on the list, was Rico Dowdle. On an obscure, struggling Carolina team that had a healthy Chuba Hubbard, Dowdle was listed. That opened my eyes. It should have opened them to you as well. He's on a 1 year, $2.75 million prove-it deal with the Carolina Panthers, playing for a head coach who on first down at one of the highest percentages in the NFL, back to his days calling plays for the Bucs, will hand the ball off and not throw it. I didn't see these numbers coming the last 2 weeks for Dowdle, but the opportunity was there. Matthew Berry often says that. You want the opportunity. What I have always said, I want touches, not targets. Give me touches. Targets get no points. Touches have the opportunity for points because the ball's in their hand. Dowdle, 30 for 183. No scores on the ground. He obviously did do that damage in the air in the win against the Cowboys. Okay, pass catchers of 76 or more. 18 of them in inverse order. Travis Kelce, 6 for 78. Zay Jones, 5 for 79. I didn't know he was on the Cardinals now. A.J. Brown, 6 for 80, squeaky wheel. Harold Fannin, Cleveland, 7 for 81. Wandale Robinson, after he didn't do it first week after Neighbors out for the year, he does do it on a Thursday night against Philly, 6 for 84 and a score. Matthew Golden, every week I considered cutting Matthew Golden. And I just haven't done it. And I played him this week. I may have played him the week before against Dallas, or the week they played Dallas. Golden, 3 for 86. No touchdowns, but they also used him running the ball. It's trending in the right direction. Brian Thomas Jr., second good game in a row. This was a very good game in a losing effort to Seattle, 8 for 90, one touchdown. Kayshon Boutte, 5 for 93 and two touchdowns. Jamar Chase with Joe Flacco throwing to him, 10 for 94 and a touchdown. DK Metcalf, 4 for 95 and a touchdown from Aaron Rodgers. Jalen Waddle has stepped in nicely in the absence of Tyreek Hill. These were the things many have expected from Jalen Waddle even when Hill was healthy the last couple years. 6 for 95. Chris Olave, 6 for 98. Ladd McConkey, that was overdue. 7 for 100, one touchdown as the Chargers rallied to beat the Dolphins. Dallas Goedert, yeah, that felt like a Dallas Goedert game. 9 for 110 and a touch in the Eagles' loss to the Giants. Kendrick Bourne, 2 weeks in a row. And Jennings played in this game. Bourne, 5 for 142. we might pair Bourne with Mac Jones because every week there's just so much different with the 49ers. But when you got Mac starting, and I mean, at this point, it's kind of like we're looking ahead. If you're Canales, are you really going to send Dowdle back to the bench for Shanahan? Are you really sending Kendrick Bourne back to the bench for what they've done the last 2 weeks? Bourne 5 for 142. Drake London. This was what ended last season for the Falcons when they started Penix. This is what even I invested a pick in Drake London this year. Got it on Monday night, 10 for 158 in a score, and was almost the second score at the end of the first half. JSN, probably as much as anybody, the guy I went into drafts with that I did not get. It just, the draft didn't fall my way, and I didn't take JSN in any of my leagues. And I had said here on the podcast, I believe in him. He clearly is a very good player. Even with the change at quarterback and the change in coordinator, lot to like there. For those of you who did put draft capital in JSN, you're very happy. 8 for 162 and a touching. George Pickens. As Jalen Waddle is doing these things in the absence of Tyreek, Pickens is doing things in the absence of CeeDee. 9 for 168 and a score. By the way, looking down. So Swift, 2 catches, 67 yards, and a touchdown to supplement what he did rushing-wise. Bijan, 6 for 68, no scores. So the two most productive based on yardage, the only running backs who were in the top 30 of receiving yards were both playing on Monday night. Robinson, 68, Swift, 67. No other running backs had 62 yards receiving or more in week 6. Right.todd@yahoo.com. Let me know how you're doing through 6 weeks. Talk to me about the player that has overperformed for you based on the draft capital you used on him. Tell me the player you regret you cut in these first 6 weeks that you did draft, or tell me the player that you have too much draft capital in that is underperforming, and whether you're sitting him or cutting him based on what's going on. Always a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for listening to the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Please listen to the Todd Wright Toddcast via similar platforms, including JoeBucksFan.com. You can reach me via email at Wright.Todd@yahoo.com.